All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for that wonderful presentation. I had a very dear friend whose son just died from an accidental methadone overdose. And in looking into it, he was not involved in a clinic that had that type of comprehensive care. So it's an epidemic that is striking near and dear to all of us, and I really appreciate your work in that way. I'm going to talk a little bit about systems of care. Often when public health nurses and school nurses talk about care coordination, they're sort of driving down more toward what you do for the family, and I'm going to pop that out a little bit and talk about how we need to think in a systematic way about care coordination. I do not have any disclosures. So I was kind of curious of how much public health nursing experience in whatever setting you're in. How many of you are 1 to 5 years? Okay, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, and 16 to 20? Okay, and more than 20. All right, look at that experience in the room. Yay! I've often found that at the APHA meetings, you have very, very experienced PHNs coming to these meetings, and it's a great dynamic. If you're not going to the lunch, try next year when you come again. It's also very fun. Okay, so what is care coordination? It's a deliberate organization of patient care activities between two or more participants. It includes the patient. And these organizations are getting together in a very deliberate way. And I think that's one of the new concepts at a systematic level is this word deliberate. So I call you up, I make a referral, and then I might find out if the patient ever showed up or something. And that tends to be kind of how we're working as hard as we can at care coordination. Patient Protection Affordable Care Act now is saying that care coordination should be a mainstay of what we do to improve quality, safety, client satisfaction, and very importantly, workforce satisfaction. But it is more than just at that individual family level. What the Affordable Care Act is really talking about is restructuring new systems of care. There's also an emphasis to look at primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention across care coordination, and an emphasis on nurse-led clinics. I was kind of thinking that your model is really very much a nurse-led clinic, the way that you framed it up. And for children, we have to always include the school nurse in the school as part of our care coordination. And I think that often drops off the map. I'm a primary pediatric nurse practitioner, and I work a lot within the area of the medical care home and pediatrics. And it's amazing to me how often the pediatricians don't know where the schools are, they don't know what the school attendance is, and yet that's the bulk of where the children are wakeful hours during their school day. We also have some interesting terminology issues. When you're working across systems, what are you talking about when you say care coordination? So we say case management. That means something different to the school nurse than it does to the PHN, than it does to the hospital. Care management often means reducing use of care. Nurses get hired as certified care managers. I can tell you that clients don't like this term. They don't want to be cases, and they don't want to be managed. So I think it's a terminology we need to kind of just like get it pushed out the door, but it's still there in the literature quite a bit. If you're in a primary care clinic, they talk a lot about disease management and chronic disease management. The CDC kind of frames things in that way. In schools, the education for children that have special educational needs is service coordination. And that's actually required in part of that individual education plan language that a service coordinator be appointed. But does that include healthcare? Is that comprehensive? Does it really mean coordinating services, or does it mean coordinating care? It's a little unclear in the language. And then there are a whole slew now of navigator programs, which may include lay personnel. These have been made very popular in the cancer treatment centers. But all these terms are used, they're used interchangeably, and so the very first thing you need to do when you sit down to think about this is what is it you really mean, and what's the terminology across systems that you're going to apply? Your care coordination should be family-centered and have a very strong shared plan of care. So that's kind of the terminology. Then who are the clients? Well, we talk about the clients very differently. In public health, we have a big focus on prevention in health. That's why we're all here. The maternal child adolescent talks about children with special health care needs. The Office on Disabilities talks about a subset of those children as intellectual and other developmental disabilities. The CDC takes this same population, talks about chronic health condition and chronic care management. And then when you jump over to education, they talk about medically fragile and special education children. So it's the same child and the same family. And yet every one of these systems is kind of putting a different label, a different qualifier, and a different meaning really on what then tends to drive the care. So we're promoting very much that we commonly come to say children with special health care needs. That's a very broad umbrella, and it just means any child who needs something more than typical for other kids. And it intends to encompass all of these other definitions. So this is what the house looks like. This is a system of care. So in order to have compassion and good access for families and children across all these systems, you need a practice team and support that all understand what you're doing. You need interagency partnerships, so not just shared information, but actual partnerships where someone can take a lead and actually give the primary source of care in partnership to someone else. It works best if these things are formalized in an MOU that's revisited at least annually. You need surveillance and tracking systems, so not just whether the client got to care and back, but how is the system working to communicate across those ways, and that we should be working with evidence-based guidelines. And if you're knowing what your evidence-based guidelines are you then looking at mental health's evidence-based guidelines? And where do they conflict potentially? It's interesting when you really pull out what you think the best standard of care is and look at that across the systems and the agencies. All of this should be monitored through continuous performance improvement and looking at outcome evaluation. Your outcome evaluation is really what happens to the client, but your performance improvement is how's this whole system working together? Where are the barriers to communication? Where are the facilitators to communication? And how often are patients just lost in the morass? The secret for all of this is to get a great big satellite up there and have really good communication. Who builds this care coordination home? It has to be done across systems. And it has to be vertical within each agency so that the person that's greeting the client at the door to the person doing the medical records to the person that's transmitting shared records all knows that you're a care-coordinated center, that you're operating a healthcare home, and that these are the rules and procedures that we all follow. When you call an agency, like, for example, when you're calling a medical care office, do you ask the question, who's your healthcare home coordinator? How's your care coordination working? And how can our care coordinator talk to your care coordinator? How's that happen across all those shared services? And the family should be involved through shared plans of care. So this means more than sitting down and deciding on the care with the family. There's actually very critical steps with a shared plan of care. If you're not familiar with that, you can Google the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health and just put shared plans of care, and you'll get a really nice template that'll walk you through those steps. So let's talk about how this might work for an individual client. So this is San Diego. He's age 6. He's had frequent ER visits for asthma. And one day he comes to the ER, and the primary care provider there has been trained to think about care coordination and shared plans of care. And the ER is seen as a partner with the school-based health clinic, and the ER is seen with a partner with primary health care. And that ER primary care provider says, so how's school going? How are things going? To find out that Santiago is not in school. He's 8 years old. He has Down syndrome, and his mother pretty much is just overwhelmed. She just didn't get Santiago to school, and she didn't know if there'd really be any particular purpose given his genetic condition. So if you think about this, using a social determinants of health, just with that little bit of history, there's a lot that needs to be done for Santiago. Carmen and Santiago are U.S. citizens, but they're reluctant to use care. Mother doesn't know how to use meds. She's been to 3 different clinics. She has every single type of asthma med that you can imagine and no idea when to use which one. They have a housing issue. They're in substandard housing. It's roach infested. There aren't extra inhalers for school. You've got to get Santiago enrolled in school. You need some income assistance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How is this all going to happen? Well, I want you to just take 10 seconds and think about what this might look like from the point of view of Santiago's mom. If you did an echo map and said, here's all these services that you need, and here's how we're going to bring them together. And when you do that, you end up with something that looks just as complex as this. So if each provider is being a care coordinator within their own system across each of these other systems, pretty soon what we have is not a coordinated care system. We have a lot of disjointed care coordinators not really thinking holistically and systematically about what needs to happen. So just imagine if you're the mental health provider and you're seeing Santiago in a care-coordinated home, and a care coordinator calls you up and says, here's the shared plan of care with this family. Here's the things that we're thinking about. Here's your specific role, and here's how you communicate what you're doing back to this system. And here's the communication that we're going to give you back. And that way, it not only lightens the burden of care on the family, everybody feels better about what they're doing, and it improves your outcomes. So my thesis, and what I'm kind of trying to scream at the top of my lungs about, is that if you're connecting healthcare systems and school-based systems and community systems, who is it within our workforce that knows about how to do this and understands case management, using the old terminology, better than any other workforce currently existing in our healthcare system? And that would be public health nurses, the nurses that are in the community that use social determinants of health that work across these systems. But if we're not familiar with how the medical care home is thinking about things, with how the Affordable Care Act is dividing care coordination, and we're not thinking about how we create these systems, we're not going to be in a place to really add our expertise to that care coordination system. So with that, I think I'll conclude. I appreciate any thoughts or questions that you have after the other speakers have gone. Thank you.